There's a wonderful saying in this country, and it goes something like this. Truth comes from the mouth of babes and children. When two children are playing in the playground, often one is playing catch and one pushes the other and the other one screams out and saying, "Wait, that's not fair." And then the boy goes into his mother's house and says, "Mom, so-and-so pushed me, and that's just not fair." Well, I don't know about you, but in my family, my compassionate mother would always say, "Who told you life was fair?" In the movie Luther, that was filmed in 2003, there's an early scene that portrays Martin Luther's spiritual struggle. And he turns to his spiritual father, the monk, and says to him, "How can you believe in a God that has borne us tainted by sin, waiting for us to fall so that he could condemn us to the depths of hell?" The monk responds, "What do you seek, Luther?" He says, "I seek a just God whom I can love, whom loves me no matter what sins I commit." In the times like the Reformation, where Luther lived, people questioned the nature of God's love. How do we earn and not earn God's love? How are we justified? In other words, made right with God in this world. After reading the scripture lessons for this Sunday, I can't help but ask one question. Do we live in a world that is created by a fair God? In 2 Samuel, we are taken to a wonderful scene that confronts the same question. David, once again, gave into his love of women and have taken Bathsheba while her husband is fighting for his army in a foreign country. Yes, he should not have done it, but there is one small problem. Oops, she's pregnant. Try to cover up, he tries to bring her husband home to have relationships with her, so he won't be found at fault. But once that attempt fails, he sends a message to his commander. Place him in the front of the fighting line. In other words, make sure he dies. Ultimate soap opera material here. Does Bible have the drama like the days of our lives? Oh yeah. Furthermore, once the husband is dead, he takes Bathsheba as his wife. Their child is born. While all seems hunky-dory at the royal household, God is displeased with David, and he sends his prophet Nathan. But instead of accusing him directly, Nathan tells a story. He says, "A story of two men. One is rich and one is poor. The rich man had many possessions and land and livestock. But the poor man had one small animal, an ewe lamb, which he treasured, which was like a pet to him, a beloved family dog. But when a traveler comes to dine with this rich man, instead of showing hospitality out of his means, he takes away this lamb from the poor man to have this feast." Well, David is infuriated, and he shouts out, "This man deserves to die. He shall pay for what he has done because he had no pity. He has done an unfair thing. The justice must commence." But without a pause, we hear from Nathan the famous words, "You are the man. You have done an evil thing in the sight of the Lord." The Lord gave David everything, wealth, power, but he abused it and he messed it up. Something that we often see in the world, a huge moral failure. But is he going to admit it or is he going to try to hide it? Well, he admits it. But the prophet pronounces his God's forgiveness. But yet one thing must happen. David will live, but the child who was conceived out of this adultery will die. And this is the earthly consequence. An innocent child who is going to inherit his father's sin and be punished for it. How can God do this? And how is this fair? Shouldn't he just forget about it and let David be, since he already repented? Simon, in the gospel, is also quick to point the unfairness of Jesus' accepting this woman, this sinful woman who dares to interrupt the dinner party. There are many things wrong in his story. There is a great sin that this woman committed, and since it is public knowledge, she was probably a moral sinner, a prostitute. But unclean must not mingle with the clean. As Simon the Pharisee is wining and dining with Jesus, this woman unabashedly appears in the scene and interrupts the party. The first thing she does is to kneel down and wash Jesus' feet with her tears. Well, that must have been a lot of tears, right? And there's some big sorrow there. She caresses his feet, she kisses it and dries it with her hair. Unheard for a woman to let her hair down in public. Anoints them with very expensive perfume, not just a little bit of it, but an entire jar. So you think incense smell is bad. This act is not only inappropriate, but it's almost a bit erotic, something we don't expect to see in the Bible, except in the Song of Solomon. So Simon is thinking, this woman deserves to be shunned. She's a sinner. She has to be punished. And if Jesus was a real prophet, he would know that. So he must be a fake. But Jesus tells him a story in return. Very simple. A creditor loans money to two men. One owes him 50 denarii, the other owes him 500 denarii, and they're unable to pay, and he forgives them. And the question is, which of them loves him more? Well, Simon says the one who owed more, I suppose, loved him more. But what's unfair here is that Simon has dropped the ball. He did not wash Jesus' feet, a custom of every Middle Eastern household at the time. He offered no anointment for his refreshment. But this unclean woman, this sinner, offered more hospitality than the host of the party. But perhaps Simon doesn't have to show this great love, because after all, he's righteous. He's a Pharisee. Thank you very much. I can take care of my own justification with the law. No need for forgiveness for me. But this woman knows her need of forgiveness. Therefore, her sins are forgiven. The world may not seem fair, but God is fair, even in the face of our great unfairness, our shame, and our treacherous betrayals, and our questioning of his character. So perhaps the moral of today's reading is not about the fairness of God. He forgave David, he blessed David, he did not hold his sin against him, ultimately, and he gave him another son from Bathsheba named Solomon, who became the king of Israel, whose parents' relationship started out of an adulterous affair. You think you have a dysfunctional family? So does our Lord. And he comes from that family line where God has redeemed that. God has redeemed this woman who has shown great acknowledgement of her sin by her actions. God in Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive and heal our brokenness. And this lady knows that. She knows Jesus better than everyone in the room, and she loves him more. Could it be that the issue is not so much to be concerned about others' rights or wrongs or fairness of the world, but actually being honest with ourselves, with God, about where we are in our relationship with him? Are we sinful? Can we acknowledge and admit our sin? Here in the Church of St. Michael and St. George, we have a saying that this church is open and welcoming to all, to everyone who is a sinner. And that's what this takes to be part of this family. If you're not a sinner, there probably isn't a room for you. Can I acknowledge that? And can you acknowledge that? Because that's the moment when we confront whatever ugly sin that we have that gives us the opportunity to show love like this woman, to put our pride down, to want to sacrifice everything we have, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, as an offering back to God, so our entire life becomes a life of worship and devotion. Knowing that we can't fairly earn this forgiveness, it is given to us by the cross. And having faith in that cross is the most amazing sign of love. Isn't that unfair that God chose to suffer for all of our sins while we deserve a worse consequence? True love itself is not fair. And for believing in that unmerited grace and thanking God for it, our Lord says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.